To the book of John. We read in 1 John. Now turn over to the Gospel of John. He was the writer of both books. The Holy Spirit was the author. Right, Donovan? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. John chapter 1, verse 42. It says of Andrew that he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. He brought him to Jesus. John makes it easy, even for folks from East Texas, to get his books that the Holy Spirit gave him to write. In chapter 20, verse 31, he hangs it on the doorpost. Chapter 20, verse 31, he said, "But these are written," John said, "this is why I'm writing, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." Everything in these 21 chapters of John is in order that you would believe that He is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Promised One, the Messiah of the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. That you might believe, that you might have life after you believe. Life after you believe is 1 John. The Gospel of John is that you would believe. And to that end, he brings witnesses to testify on the witness stand that Jesus is in fact the Christ, the Son of God. Now, what does a witness do in court? Now, if you go back to our reading in 1 John chapter 1, it's right there. 1 John chapter 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life." That's a witness. That's someone who has heard something, someone who has seen something, someone who's experienced something. I read not too long ago that a man who was guilty of a crime was let go because the only eyewitness refused to testify. What a shame. How much greater shame is it for a Christian who refuses to give testimony as an eyewitness of what we have seen and what we've heard? If you'll turn a page or two over backwards to Luke 24, verse 47, Jesus said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. You've seen it. You've heard it. You physically saw the resurrected Savior. A witness relates not his opinion. A witness doesn't debate with the attorney. He doesn't argue with the judge. He doesn't tell people what he thinks. He simply relates what he heard and what he saw about a specific incident, about a specific event. Now, if you haven't seen, if you haven't heard, you've got nothing to say. If you saw a movie yesterday, you can tell us about the movie. You saw it, unless you went to sleep. You know, those chairs are comfortable, you know, and the lights are really dim. But she gets to see, you know, the movie. But anyway, if you've seen the movie, You can tell somebody. Now, if you slept through it and they said, what happened? You go, the opening credits started. I ate my popcorn. I ate my Jordan almonds. And I drank my Coke. And I don't remember too much after that. Oh, yeah, I remember when it was ending. And I got this pain in my side. You know, in order to be a witness, you have to actually see something and hear it. Now, in chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, the first thing that John does is he introduces us to the person of Jesus Christ, the subject of these 21 chapters. And he immediately tells and declares to us that Jesus is first and foremost God. Then he tells us that Jesus is life. Life does not exist outside of Jesus Christ. Oh, you may have physical life, but it's not very long. It's just temporary. Eternal life is only in Jesus Christ, and that he's light. He's understanding. He's knowledge. He's wisdom. And he's righteous. He's holy. All that in the word light. Verse 11, he's rejected. In verses 12 and 13, he's received. In verse 14, it tells us that he was incarnated, made flesh, that God put on flesh and dwelt among us. It also tells us that he is grace. It also tells us that he is truth. There is no truth outside of Jesus Christ. There's philosophical and theological opinions. But there is no absolute truth outside of Jesus Christ. All truth is filtered through the prism of Jesus Christ. Then in verse 15, after the introductory remarks, John calls first to the witness stand John the Baptist. John the Baptist gives his record and his message of Jesus Christ. And he introduces him to Israel as the sacrifice, the Lamb of God. In verse 37, Jesus introduces himself to some of his future disciples. And they then begin to introduce him to others. Notice verse 37, and the two disciples heard him speak. That's the two of the disciples of John the Baptist. They heard him speak when he declared him to be the Son of God, the Lamb of God. And verse 38, then Jesus, they heard him and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say being interpreted master, school teacher, where dwellest thou? He said unto them, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. You notice the other one is not mentioned. One of the characteristics of John is he never mentions himself by name. I like that. He doesn't want to take away any of the glory from the Lord. He doesn't want his name above the name of Jesus Christ. But we do know that he's the second disciple of John the Baptist here. And while Andrew went looking for his brother, John went looking for his brother, James. Andrew, it said in verse 41, first found. He beat John. He found his brother Peter first. And so we can safely infer from other scriptures that James also came to Jesus because he's listed with the disciples. Something else I want to point out here is that no formal training has taken place. Jesus hasn't even begun discipling the disciples yet. They've not sat in a personal evangelism class. They haven't sat in a how you too can be a soul winner class. They haven't ordered the manual, you too can be a witness in 357 easy steps. They haven't learned the intellectual art of apologetics and how to overcome objections. All that's happened is that they were introduced to Jesus Christ. And immediately they believed the witness and the testimony that they had heard of John the Baptist concerning who he was. They knew their lives would never be the same because they experienced a peace and a joy that they had never had before. They experienced a contentment, a fulfillment that they could not achieve in anything that the world has to offer. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because we all come to the Lord Jesus Christ in a million different ways and circumstances, but when we're ushered into His presence, we're all saved in exactly the same way. Through repentance and belief by faith, we're drawn, we're led by the Holy Spirit to receive Him as Savior as He applies the work of Christ on the cross to us. Therefore, Romans 5 says, being justified by faith, we have peace. Every single individual that's been saved has received with Christ, has received peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 1 said there. I was dying with an incurable disease. And a doctor that I had been led to gave me a prescription that instantly cured me completely with a guarantee that it would never, ever come back. Why would I not immediately go to somebody close to me that I knew had the same disease and tell them about this doctor and this cure? All that's really required is a love for that person or just a care, a concern. And then you just simply tell them your story. You tell them what happened to you. Oh, I couldn't do that. I'd be too embarrassed. They might think that I was being too pushy, that I was pushing that cure off on them. Well, yeah. Why wouldn't you? Again, my question. Why would we not tell especially somebody that's close to us? The ones that are closest to us, our family, our relatives, our friends, they're going to notice a change anyway in us. We were about to die and now we're wide awake. We're completely healed. We're completely different. We've been completely changed. They're going to know before anybody else that something has taken place. Just natural curiosity is going to have them probably come to us before we even have a chance going to them. And they're going to want to know what happened. And then all we simply relate is what we have heard and what we have seen, what we have experienced. Mark chapter 5. You remember the man there in Gadara who was possessed with a legion of demons and the Lord cast them out. And he before wore no clothes. The fewer clothes that you wear is just evidence of the fact that you're not being influenced by God and how to dress modestly. But as soon as he was saved, the first thing he did was put his clothes on. That's pretty good advice. The world doesn't need to be looking and ogling you. They need to be seeing Christ in you. Verse 19, when the Lord began to leave and his disciples, this man was going to go with them. Verse 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and have had compassion on thee. He said, I'd love for you to go with me, but I have a greater need for you to go home and tell your family and your friends what I've done for you. The Lord would love to have us come home with him to heaven when he saves us, but he's got a greater need first, that he would use us as vessels for him to accomplish his will and purpose before we come home. And the instructions are very simple. Just go home and tell people what happened to you. Give testimony to what you've witnessed here this night and this morning here in the cemetery. We know from verse 40, as the Lord went to the next place, and someone said something, they laughed. The Lord said something, they laughed him to scorn. There will always be results from speaking to others about the Lord Jesus, and some of them may even be good. All power has been given unto Jesus Christ, he said, in our commission, in our job description in Matthew 28. That he sends us out in. We don't go in our own ingenuity. We don't go in our own strength. We don't go in our own knowledge. We go in his authority, in his power, in his enabling strength. We don't present a method or a plan of personal evangelism. We present a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. We do that with what we say. We do that with what we do. We do that with our attitude and how we react to others and how we treat lost people and how we treat saved people. How we react to personal attack. How we react to adversity. Just simply a simple smile would do a whole lot for some of you. See, that's what people are witnessing from us of the Lord Jesus Christ, either good or bad. And do we really need a commandment to go? Is that not a natural spiritual reaction to what's happened to us? And stop expecting immediate results when you tell somebody the gospel or what happened to you. We're not peddling vacuum cleaners door to door or watchtowers. We're not closing a sale or a deal with a signature on the bottom line. Oh, I'm going to have to get a new technique. I wasn't eloquent enough or bold enough. You see nowhere where Jesus did that. He says, just simply follow me. In verse 41, John calls Andrew as the next witness, then Philip, and lastly in this chapter, Nathanael. But what I want us to see this morning is Andrew's witness, because here's a biblical way to obey that first section of the Great Commission to preach the gospel to every creature, to teach all nations, excluding no one. Here's how we do that. We don't apply Kirby vacuum cleaner techniques. You've no doubt heard about the fact that we should be soul winners. We cannot be soul winners. We don't have that ability. We don't have that power. I wish we did. There's only one soul winner. There's only one person that is able to win someone out of sin and into Christ, and that's God. And specifically, the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. He is the one who wins the souls. We are the vessel. We are the physical instrument that He uses to accomplish that. This method in verse 41 that Andrew did is the same that Jesus did. And if we're going to follow Him, it'd be good that we take some notes as to how Andrew did it. Verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Verse 41, he first findeth his own brother, Simon, and he said unto him, we found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. First thing that Andrew did was he followed. Do you see the last two words of verse 43? Jesus said, follow me. We are to follow the Lord Jesus Christ here in Scripture. We are to follow the indwelling one who leads us, the Holy Spirit. If anyone be led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, Romans 8 says. The Holy Spirit leads us to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in turn leads us to the Father and to His will. The Holy Spirit leads us to truth that He authored in this book. He leads us to obedience of that truth. And He leads us to others. And it's really very simple, because He causes our path to cross with somebody. And I found out in most of the cases, we would not have had that person cross our path. We would have had that person cross the path the day before we get there. Andrew followed. When somebody walks in a particular direction and says to follow him, you don't have to say, well, now, should I go this way? Should I go that way? Should I go... It requires hardly anything at all of us other than obedience. When he starts walking in that direction, you just simply walk behind him. It's really simple. Chapter 2, verse 5. Mary, his mother, said unto the servants, whatsoever he says to you, do it. That's good advice. That's good advice for our Catholic friends. What does Mary say? Do whatever Jesus says to do, not me. He followed. Number two, he found. He found his own brother. If you follow Jesus, you're going to find what he's leading you to. Keep following until you reach the object of the leading. Don't give up. Most seem to follow self, their own will, their own interests. And you'll find them eventually. But as Solomon, with the find, you'll find vanity, emptiness, shallowness, discontentment, no peace, no joy, and certainly no happiness that you were promised. If you had that, you would be happy. I don't see very many happy people today in the world. Andrew followed. He found his brother who he had been led to. And then in verse 41 again, it said that he said unto him when he found his brother, he spoke words to him. That would help a whole lot of people if you would just simply open your mouth and say something. Some don't have that problem. He spoke. But what he spoke was truth. He spoke truth about Jesus Christ, who he had met. And he spoke to the spiritual growth that he had attained and experienced. Knowledge is fine. But knowledge is not a replacement for wisdom and experience. Because if you don't understand what to do with the knowledge you have, it'll just puff you up and bloat you up and conceit you up, and you'll look down at everybody. And all you'll do is try to correct them instead of bringing them to Jesus. The object is not to straighten them out. The object is for them to come to Jesus Christ and be saved. Then they'll get the truth. Then they'll get the life. We cannot do the work of the Holy Spirit. We can only be used of the Holy Spirit for Him to do His work in the individual through us. And then we can't take any credit for it. We give Him the glory, as John did. We lift up His name, not ours. He spoke the truth about Jesus Christ. Give away the knowledge that you have to others and you'll get more. Give away your talents. Give away your gifts to others and you'll get more. Give away your money to others and you'll get more. I know that's blasphemy to Baptist. This depends on what you worship, what you value, what you put above Jesus Christ. If it's financial security, then worship, especially public worship, won't have a very high priority in your life. You'll find out what an oxymoron financial security is. There is no security in finance, especially today. I mean, just take basic economic course. You'll find out that we're headed for bankruptcy. The only reason we're not is because banks are floating us loans. Most people live on credit. There's no financial security. The only security is in Jesus Christ. Give what you have to others and you'll be amazed at what God will keep giving you. You begin to hoard what He's given you, the channel will stop. God's given you His love. We're to give that to others. That's called charity. Charity is the outward action of an inward love that we've received from God. Does someone actually experience ministry from your hands? It said of Jesus that he just simply went about doing good. Anybody can do that. Anybody that cares about somebody else. Of Andrew here, he followed, he found, he spoke. And then look at verse 42. He brought him to Jesus. If whatever it is you're doing doesn't bring people to Jesus Christ, you're wasting your time. You've missed the most important part of your service to the Lord. He brought who he spoke to, who he had found, and who he had been led to Jesus. Now, where's Jesus? You need to know where he is if you're going to lead anybody to him. Where is he? He's in two places. He's inside of you. That's assuming you're saved. He's inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit. And he's here in truth, in the Scriptures. Yes, he's at the right hand of the Father in heaven. But we cannot lead anyone physically there. We should all pray to be more like Andrew, folks. And the biblical example that he gives here. It's really a simple thing. He said, do you care enough about somebody else to risk maybe them ridiculing you? When Philip went to Nathanael and he said, we found Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, verse 46, Nathanael sort of tongue-in-cheek said, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Can there any good thing come out of East Texas? People in Brenham say, can there any good thing come out of Burton? Like they're somewhat much more cosmopolitan than people in Burton. Where was Nathanael from? About 2 miles from Nazareth. Yeah. But when the Lord Jesus displayed his omniscience that he was really God, he recognized in Nathanael that there was no malice in his remarks. It's like there's no malice when I talk about Donovan or Kirk or Midge or Minta. Nathanael immediately recognized that he was God. Then Nathanael became a witness. You realize that God has saved us for a purpose. And he has placed us where he has placed us for a specific reason. Do you pray by name for lost people that you know? Do you pray with a broken heart? Do you pray daily for them? Do you pray in the morning, Lord, lead me to someone. Lord, help me to be an example to someone. Lord, help me to say or do something that would cause someone to realize that you're real and that salvation is real. We talk to people about the weather, and who cares? Yeah, it's hot. It's summer in Texas. Duh. But it'll be cold this winter, for about 10 days. It's dry now. It'll rain.
When it's raining, it'll dry again. We talk to people about sports. Who cares? Millionaires playing a little boy's game, and we worship at their altar, and we empty our pockets at their altar, and we give a dollar at church. Well, you know, it's whoever you love the most, that's who you... I think that's how that works. What do you talk about the most? What's in your heart will come out of your mouth. What's in your heart? You say, people don't like it when I talk about Jesus. I know it. Roaches don't like it when you turn the light on either. People from Dallas don't like you talking about the Astros. Obviously. Obvious reason. But another couple of years, it'll be reversed. What do you talk about? Do you talk to other people about what's closest to your heart? That's what this is. We do live in a community that's dying and going to hell. We do live in a community where young folks think the only answer is suicide. How sad. No hope. No life. That's because they've tried to find that life in sources other than Jesus Christ. And it ends in failure every time. It ends in heartache. It ends in sorrow. It ends in depression. It ends in loneliness. Only in Jesus Christ is there life, is there peace, is there joy. Why wouldn't we want other people to have that same thing? Can we this morning pray with Isaiah? Lord, here am I. Here I am, right here. Send me. Use me. Father, we thank you this morning for this man, Andrew. Not a whole lot we find in the Bible about Andrew, but we sure do find a lot about his brother, Peter. I read in Billy Graham's biography of the man in the tent revival that Mordecai Ham had. He led Billy Graham to you during the invitation. Lord, I wonder if that man... I wonder if Andrew ever entertained thoughts of envy or a question, Lord, why didn't you use me that way? But Lord, when they get to heaven and they see their reward, I don't think that'll ever come to their mind. Lord, there might be a Billy Graham living in this community. And you've saved us to give testimony to him of what we've witnessed of you. Help us, Lord, to be faithful, to follow your leading. And Lord, to look for who you're leading us to and recognize it. And then, Lord, open our mouth and let us speak the truth that we have seen, that we have heard, that we've experienced. And may we do so with love. May we do so with concern. Lord, may our prayer life reflect that. Then, Lord, may we just simply bring them to you. for you to do the work that we cannot do. Help us to realize that you said that your servants are not to strive, we're not to debate. You didn't enter into a debate with Nicodemus or the woman at the well. You simply spoke truth. Help us to do that same thing and follow you. That person that's closest to us that is lost, break our hearts enough that we would daily pray for them, that we or somebody would be sent to them with the truth, and that, Spirit of God, you would use what we say, what we do, to open their eyes to the truth and open their heart to receive it. We look up in expectation daily and say with John in Revelation, even so, Lord Jesus, come. And Lord, we desire for you to come for us. But the next thought is for that person we know that's still lost. May we go to that person like today is the day that you come for us. Lord, save and convict those that come into the hearing of our witness, of our testimony. Lord, use us as a servant to carry out your will and your purpose. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.